good evening, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. This is Phyllis Pricer, and I have a special guest with me, a dear friend of mine, a gifted psychic and a lady who talks to the angels, Wilma Fredericks. And we were just talking about the weather. I don't know where you are, but it is really cold up here on the Eastern Seaboard. Welcome, Wilma.
Good evening. Well, it's very warm in Northwest Florida, the Pensacola
area. That's it. Rub it in.
Well, actually, it is cool. It's 56 degrees, and that's cool. But
well,
it is early April, Easter weekend, and really probably at the right temperature for
well,
everybody.
We're a little bit cold because we're expecting snow flurries.
Oh, you are cold.
And our poor cherry blossoms are turning blue instead of pink.
I can understand that. That's true. Well, the weather has been a little unpredictable, hasn't it? I know that our flowers have bloomed earlier, and of course then they go to the next stages of development.
Oh, yes. At any rate, we haven't had a chance to talk very much lately, and I think you were on the show last summer, and we had a wonderful time.
Yes, something did come to my thoughts.
Yes.
And it's because someone close to me is having to deal with breast cancer.
Ah.
And she is preparing for a surgery.
Uh-huh.
And has to make a choice of whether to have it in England or the United States because she's English born but an American citizen and her brother's in London, and he's not well, and it's one of those, if there's enough challenges by having your attention divided, then you have the health issue as serious as a cancer is, and in breast cancer in particular, only because it seems to be not in control.
Yes.
I experienced breast cancer 25 years ago.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, well, it's because it's so far back in the past, and I was blessed. The whole experience was a spiritual one as well because I had no fear, and I could never really explain it. I could only live it, and I noticed a lump on my breast on a Monday night, and on a Tuesday morning, I spoke to my sister about it. On Wednesday, I saw a doctor, and all went very fast. And the following Monday, I was admitted for surgery Tuesday morning.
Amazing.
And it was a right breast mastectomy. Probably today, it would have been a lumpectomy because then, although I believe the fear still runs its course.
Right.
And so they took the whole breath there.
Right.
But then again, there may be something to that because I knew then I would never have cancer again in any form. It was just an inner knowing. And of course, 25 years later, that statement I made then can be validated.
Oh, that's fabulous. I guess it's about 10 years ago now, my oldest daughter, who was then in her early 30s, was discovered to have a lump in her breast, and she came to the United States from Germany to have the treatment given at that time in New York. And to the best of my knowledge, she's been so lucky so far that there has also, for her, been no occurrence. So she, too, is a survivor. It's amazing how it can touch so many people.
Well, at the time I experienced it, which was 1977. No,
right.
I'm losing track of my. You know,
I'm
so much in the here and now. I really have to think to go and relive the past.
Yes.
But it has been so long ago. But at that time, it was supposed to be 1 in 20 women could expect to be challenged with breast cancer.
Right.
And nowadays, well, it's only been about 8 or 9 years, maybe 10, that my mother-in-law, who was challenged with that also. And then they told her it was 1 in 8. And now I believe it's even 1 in 6.
That survive?
Or no, that are expected to have to deal with breast cancer.
Really?
Yes, it's very high, and no one knows the reason why.
One of the things that has been put forth that I have heard is that in Europe, the incidence of breast cancer is a lot less, but then the women do not use underarm deodorants the way we do, constantly and consistently, and they think it's the aluminum, though I don't think that's proper. Aluminium, maybe.
Some of the chemicals in
deodorant. Go for that is what triggers the breast cancer.
That's a good point. Although I understand there's several different types of breast cancer, because
right.
Neither one of us are physicians, but even science has not found.
Yes.
The answers to this dilemma, especially when cancers are really something that we carry within our system that
right.
are natural
inherited.
Cells that become maverick.
Right.
I do know that we live in a polluted society
right.
where the media has us inundated with so much
mm-hmm.
negative energy that
mm-hmm.
it's, I think that's the real clue to being unhealthy. If you're in an unhealthy environment, you're
that's
going
true.
To absorb the negative energies that create disharmony and therefore make you vulnerable to disease.
I do think that's part of it, but I also think it's a combination of factors of thoughts, predisposition, hereditary. I think it's and it depends on the person what the triggering factors are.
Right. Well, I think the gene pool is in question as far as I'm concerned, and that's an intuitive opinion, and that's because my mother-in-law had no who had the breast cancer and chose to have a mastectomy rather than go
uh-huh.
through radiation, but that's 'cause her 70s. But in any case, my friend now who has to make
a serious decision.
She has no pattern of cancer in her family for many generations. So I really question the gene pool. I think it's genetic predisposition to
certain types
of behavior patterns
right.
that are an influence. But I don't know how we all we're all part of the same
I was just going to say, we all impact each other, and it's amazing how intricate that dance, if you will, is among human beings. We tend to forget that we are all interconnected mentally,
yes.
emotionally, and spiritually.
Exactly.
And
there's no separation.
We do forget that, and that our very thoughts create, like ripples in a pond, effects on the other side of the world. We cannot think ill of some, but what something negative occurs with us, as well as negative thoughts being sent to them.
That's why it's so important.
Yes, to watch one's thoughts, to guard
positive.
Them, to guide them, and to move them into areas which are loving and respectful and healthy. And that's, I think, what we have discussed on other shows. And it's interesting that you brought it up, because apparently, to have it brought up again out of the blue, we're not getting it.
Good point.
So somehow, we're getting the message, please send it out again and again and again.
Well, again, it everything is relative to our coping skills, our ability to
right.
look at everything as a teacher.
Exactly.
And everything is a teacher. That's what this school of life is.
Right.
The school of experience. And if we look at everything we experience as a teacher, then we have a learning, a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge, you know, with in combination with love, makes for wisdom.
Yes.
And it wasn't too long ago I had a dream of being in a gynecologist's office, and it was filled with women all having to deal with breast cancer.
Interesting.
And I recall that there were two interesting little inserts of information.
Uh-huh.
One was a lottery. Tickets were available in one little part of the office that people could buy lottery tickets. And I thought, that's certainly what a lot of people must feel, is that it's the luck of the draw.
Right.
And I remember looking at all the women and telling them how important it was to understand that cancer is a teacher, just as everything is.
Yes.
And when you look at it as a teacher and look to the higher purpose or the good in the experience, then you no longer are afraid.
Yes.
The only, you know, we must get rid of the fear. And how do you deal with fear? You face it.
Oh, absolutely. Head on. You're absolutely right.
You just, you know, you just, at look and looking at it as a teacher is the first step I made to not being afraid.
Right.
And then I knew, and all that I knew has been validated and made me be much more appreciative of life, because I have to say that cancer was a teacher. It reminded me very much that I was not in this world just for myself.
That exactly.
We influence others as they influence us. We are all mirrors of each other, and we need to focus on love.
Okay.
Because love is our great harmonizer. That
right.
is the answer to every question we could possibly ask.
I do concur. Indeed, I do. But I wanted to tell you on a little bit lighter note, I was interviewed back at the beginning of March by a young lady on Fox Channel News, Fox 5 News in Washington, for the sports section. They were going to have a psychic predict who was going to win the basketball NCAA, is that it?
The national.
Whatever the call letters are, we're doing that. And she looked at some college students who gave statistical analysis of it to see who would win. And the first question she asked me was, what color is going to win? So I said, orange with white.
Very
and
good.
And the Florida Gators won.
Yes, they did. That's really cute, because Dr. Burrell in our studies would do the same thing, because I'm not a sports enthusiast.
Neither am I.
And he would ask me about the Final Four, and we could always get down to the Final Four and even the Final Two.
Uh-huh.
But the winners were not always given.
Uh-huh.
Because the answers I received was that it was on how well they play, that the win is not predetermined. You know, but the odds in favor of those, you know, is in place. But he would ask me, what color are they wearing? Because that way it was another confirmation as to the team.
Right.
So that is fun.
Yeah, it was. And it was such a thing, because I had no clue. You know, and he was asking, and then she asked different ways, like not only colors of the uniforms, which I did pick, but also who was going to be in the Final 16, who was going to be in the Final Four. And so I was choosing, and you know what, I came pretty darn close, and I had so much fun just doing that. And I remember telling the people at the office where I'm working now that, you know, I had chosen that, but I wouldn't go money to the bank on it, because I didn't know how good I would be at picking out teams, because not everybody's good at everything, you know. Some people are better at stuff.
Right.
So at any rate,
that was a fun experience, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so much fun. And yeah, 2 days ago.
Well, you were absolutely neutral. That allowed the intuition to be clear.
I had nothing except Georgetown, and my heart went pity pat. You know, they came close, but no Cupid doll. But Ohio State, I said, would be one of the finalists, and they were. But
if you actually had some money on any of those teams,
no,
then your psychic skills would have been jeopardized.
That's it. That's what I feel. You know, if I am neutral and don't have any, then nothing would influence the outcome. Nothing would influence me. So you want to know, because I'm a Georgetown student or my daughter went to VPI, would I be influenced? And I said, I doubt it, you know. But Georgetown did go pretty far, for which I was delighted. But the other thing is, when I went to the bank, I had been into for a month or more, and he said, "Oh, Mrs. Pricer," he said, "I saw you on TV on the news, and you were giving predictions." He said, I said, "Well, did you listen? I chose the right ones." And he said, "No." He said, "All I can remember thinking is, I wonder what's happening with her. I haven't seen her for a while."
He was on a more serious note.
Yeah, he was thinking business.
That is true.
Anyway, I had fun, and I want to let people know that you can have so much fun with this. You know, the gift from the spirit is not always somber and serious, but is to be treated lightly and laugh with. Though it's
a
serious subject, there's still
a lot of sense of humor. There has to be.
There has to be. And that's one of the things. But I understand and have great compassion for the young lady or the lady you are dealing with now. And, you know, certainly we'll say prayers for her in her recovery.
Well, I'm sure she will be fine. She's,
mm-hmm. Okay.
She will, facing such an experience is very uncomfortable in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's external, you
yes.
know, versus internal.
Right.
You know, if you have your uterus removed, it's not something you miss every day because you don't see it, you know,
right.
anyway. But the loss of a breast is uncomfortable because it's so visible.
Yes.
It's just like wounds on the back heal
right.
faster than the wounds on the front of the body or what you can see because they heal naturally, effortlessly, and automatically, especially if you don't interfere with your concern.
Right.
So, because the body knows how to heal itself, we just have to let it.
Absolutely. It's fascinating what the body can do. So, and I wanted to know if you had any specific predictions that were coming along for this coming year that you wanted to share with people?
Well, I really hadn't thought about it because it's all I can do to keep up with myself.
Oh.
As far as the world conditions,
yeah.
The Mideast crisis continues to be a worry for everyone.
Yes.
And yet the seed of democracy has been planted.
Right.
With the presence of the United States and Britain and other nations
right.
recognizing some intercession needed to take place.
Uh-huh.
It is a very challenging time.
Oh, yeah.
I have always felt that there would not be a World War III as such.
No.
That
no.
it would be that the military would become the policeman of the world
mm-hmm.
because somebody has to enforce law and order or
right.
there will be chaos.
Exactly.
And we're also going to have to think more as a family and
right.
self-protection. And
right.
the family extending out to the community
right.
and to our cities and to our states
mm-hmm.
and to our country and to those of like minds.
Right.
And we're going to have to become more aware, more sensitive, and more alert for self-protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the intuition comes in because
mm-hmm.
it is our survival tool. We are born with intuitive intelligence.
Right.
And we have the senses to know
mm-hmm.
that when we are threatened in any way, whether
right.
you're comfortable or uncomfortable with
right.
a person or a situation.
I mean, right.
The flags go up, and when you become more aware of yourself
right.
And these influences and how to read them,
mm-hmm.
The more protective you can be for yourself and
right.
for those you love.
Right.
So it's a time where we're all going to have to become think of our mutual good and
right.
our loyalty to family, and mm-hmm. we need the life support of the three F's, the mm-hmm. faith, family, and friends. We need a network. We can't do it alone. And
no.
we can't be running around suspicious of everyone and everything,
exactly.
or that just creates even more fear. We just, again, this is where the guardian angels come in
right.
in such a strong way. They are our life support.
Uh-huh.
They are our connection to the greater reality that is God and this greater
right.
world that we will, from this viewpoint, not ever fully understand, but certainly can enjoy the
right.
mysteries and protection it all represents for us. And our angels give us those little flags, those
uh-huh.
little knowings, those discomforts. They don't really, if everything's going well, there's no reason to alarm you, so there's nothing to say
uh-huh.
or to make you feel. But if there's any kind of threat, usually you'll get a flag up in some way.
Right.
I remember a story of someone who told me that she was traveling and had a little bit of car trouble, the ignition being a little slow to start. It would take her two or three tries. And
right.
But that she stopped at a rest stop to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late at night, and there were truckers out there, but she was comfortable with that, trucks and drivers, because her father was a long-distance truck driver.
Oh, okay.
But as she went into the ladies' room, all of a sudden she had this thought in her head to not stay in the ladies' room, but go into the men's room and use it,
huh.
which she did. And when she was in the men's room using the toilet, she heard male voices in the ladies' room saying, "Where did she go?" And she was able to relieve herself, leave the men's room, and go to her car. And in the car, was able to look back and see three men walking toward her,
uh-huh.
and her car that had been giving her trouble started up the first time.
Wow.
And she shared that with me as I had shared with her some angel stories. She
uh-huh.
said she didn't know where the voice thought came from, but it
right.
was as if someone was speaking in her head.
Right.
And it did save her from no telling what could have happened.
Uh-huh.
But we have the guardian angels, and our intuition is our communication link
uh-huh.
to the greater world, the
uh-huh.
spiritual world, our life support.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be given clues or sensations. We'll know. It takes practice, but you get to know what is true and what is not.
Right, exactly.
You know, what is safe and what is not, and where to be cautious.
Uh-huh.
When you
it's
can
a matter of awareness, too, of being aware and willing to be aware.
But it all takes really self-observation. You have to get
exactly.
to know who you are, know yourself, know, you know, you become more sensitive.
Right.
After my husband had heart surgery last September,
right.
I've noticed some major changes other than his letting go of cigarettes, which was a great big leap, because
mm-hmm.
that is not an easy addiction to release. You just have to choose what is more important, you
right.
or the cigarette. And he has done it, but he has also become more sensitive, and with that sensitivity, more aware, and therefore more responsive. He's just someone that grew up with love not really demonstrated that much.
Right.
And so
many people have that.
Exactly. But now, because of that increased sensitivity, awareness, and therefore
mm-hmm.
response, he is, you know, demonstrating his love in an everyday manner that makes it pleasing, certainly to me, and to, I'm sure, to people. He shared with me a conversation, again, as an example
uh-huh.
of his sensitivity in a business conference call
uh-huh.
where he said, listening to the words that were coming from people's mouths and that he was hearing
uh-huh.
was not matching what he was feeling from them.
Exactly. Isn't that interesting?
And I explained to him that is his sensitivity showing
right.
that they don't match, that there's, you know, fake
there's
it till you make it talking, you
yeah.
know?
There's
but
a disconnect.
That is also... It's just, again, knowledge that helps you to
okay.
consider and also gives you another reason to pray for that strength
mm-hmm.
to stay motivated and,
right.
you know, achieve
right.
for all those, the rewards of the efforts.
Exactly.
That the fruit
I'm
does
I'm so glad that he's doing well, darling. It was one of the questions.
Well, thank you very much for your prayer support.
Oh, that's quite all right.
You
know, you
accelerated
nice
healing, and the benefits are beyond words to explain.
Exactly. I think that's just so fabulous. So how are you? Are you still sitting down? And the way you work, you get messages, or do you still get them through the use of the computer, or how do you gain your conversation?
There's three different levels. If we're discussing something and it is true, I'll get goosebumps, or what I call truth bumps, you know.
Yep.
That's usually the first level of a sign that something being said is accurate.
Right.
And then there's a second level that you just know.
Right.
And words can fully explain it. Like I knew mm-hmm. the last time I saw my physician after the breast surgery years ago, I thanked him very much for being the instrument of my correction, you know, repair,
yeah.
I guess you could say,
yeah.
the breast removal.
Right.
But that he had served his purpose, and I thanked him because it saved my life. And I never saw him again, and he had to send a registered letter to me, you know, releasing himself from his care because I didn't plan to see him again.
Uh-huh.
Because I knew then I would not ever have breast cancer again, I would
mm-hmm.
never have any cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 years, last October 9th, I've validated that statement. But I knew it at the very beginning. It also gave me, I also knew after that if people had it or if there was a threat of it, I seemed to sense that, yes, it might be a challenge for them, or if they did have it, they would come through it or might not.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from that experience to trust my intuition, not my logic, because
right.
An example was a young lady's friend. Her fiancé had a large a mole on his arm, and
mm-hmm.
she called to ask what I sensed about it,
mm-hmm.
and I said, well, it is quite serious, but he will come through it just fine.
Right.
And I had just picked up a book on cancer and treatments and things and such so that I could be more knowledgeable, but I hadn't read it at all.
Right.
I just had it. And so after I spoke to her and gave her the encouragement not to worry, I went and looked at my book and found out that melanoma was indeed an extremely serious cancer, with only, at that time, and this was probably some years ago now, 20 years, a 5% success. And that if I had read that first, I may not have had the courage to give the information I gave, which was that it is indeed serious, but he would come through it fine,
okay.
because he did come through it fine. It was removed, and they were able to get all of it, and it had gone nowhere else.
Wonderful.
All as well. But that's an example of logic and intuition,
right,
you know, doing battle, and your intuition is going to be truer.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's nice when they both fit. You know?
Yes. Oh, yes. I wanted to let our listeners be reminded that if you want to call in or participate, please feel free to do so. We do enjoy having our callers call in and give their stories or participate in some other way, talk about things, ask questions, whatever. You're certainly welcome to do so. And you can call BBS Radio, and you should have the phone number right there. And we do look forward to this. But a lot of times, you know, my guests and I, Wilma, we sort of talk. And the wonderful thing is, I usually get feedback from more and more people that say, you know, I had been asked wanting to cast a question, but you answered it in the course of your conversation. Is that deep?
That's very nice.
Or, you know, another one said she felt she was so, you know, she was in depression and she didn't want to bring down the jollity of our conversation or whatever. And as I expressed to her, you don't have to worry about that because we're here to be of service.
Yes.
And we do understand. And, you know, we want to hear from you all and do what we can to be a service and to bring out that healing. But I just thought it would be nice for you just to let people know, because I've had some shows where I've talked about how to use your psychic gifts yourself, how to bring forth your abilities, you know, practical steps to take into developing the awareness that we have.
Well, some of the things I share when I teach classes is just learning to relax, learning just to take deep breaths and learning to relax,
mm-hmm.
and going inward. And this is where meditation becomes important, is you're letting go of the outside world for a while and letting yourself go inward to your inner resources, to that part of you that knows.
Mm-hmm.
I believe very strongly that it is important for people to know that we all come into this world with everything we need to live it well.
Yes, I agree.
And that we do have these abilities, these capabilities, and so much of what happens in life as we live it is that we absorb the influences around us.
Right.
Our friends, you know, our community, but we absorb them. And we don't take the time to separate the positive and the negative. Some of the fears we have may not be our own at all, but others' fears.
Yeah. For example, I was working with a lady, and she was doing very well, but She started changing her diet, but then the next thing though, she things that she hadn't bothered to eat before, all of a sudden she started adding to her diet. And I said, well, that's a very, very interesting self-sabotage. Now let's find out why. So we did a session, and what happened was she equated, and here's another theme, she equated getting thinner, losing weight, with dying from cancer.
Ooh.
Because when she started to gain weight, she was taking care of her mother-in-law, who was dying of cancer. And then upon the heels of the mother-in-law dying, her mother contracted cancer, and she took care of her, and her mother died. So in our session, she said she had to be emancipated from cancer. So we worked with that, but it is so interesting, as you brought up, that we might hear things. And, of course, she wasn't going to lose weight until the fear of contracting cancer, of dying from cancer, was removed. And it is amazing because each person's story is different.
We all have a story, right?
We're all making
our story, and we are responsible.
Gorgeous.
We do choose what we experience and experience what we choose.
Uh-huh.
We are given the gift of time, and in our time,
right,
we have choices presented to us every day. And what we choose is what we live. And anything and everything can change at any time.
Exactly.
By our decision making.
Right.
I think one of the most profound understandings I learned along my way of being educated in life experiences
mm-hmm.
is the fact that we are born with only two natural fears. And those fears are shared throughout the animal kingdom, not just humans. And those fears are only two.
Huh.
They are the fear of loud noise
uh-huh.
and the fear of falling. And
yeah.
those make a lot of sense because a loud noise will just stop you in your tracks.
Right.
You'll just be
well,
paralyzed momentarily. And gravity, the fear
That's
of
the
falling,
other.
is to keep you from walking off a cliff.
Right.
Or a building.
Right.
You know, you've got to know that the body has the law of gravity that it has to work with.
Right.
But what is significant, if we only have two natural fears,
uh-huh.
then the rest are all learned.
Programmed into us.
And
yes.
if we have learned to fear, we can also unlearn to
That's
fear.
That's right.
I think that, for me, was the most profound wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Not a wisdom, it's actually facts of life, you know, that there are only two natural fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noise. And, of course, that's self-protective. That means any other fear we have is learned, therefore
exactly.
we can unlearn it. And not only is it learned fears, most of those fears come from those around us, our parents.
Yes.
And especially as children, we are born little sponges just absorbing the world around
Everything.
Us.
Everything, yes.
And so we take on our parents' fears. And we're not taught to stop and review and recognize what is ours and what is not.
Right. Well, you know, I heard something today. You have this Charlie's program, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a program she started for young children. I have a program that I'd love to put in with grade schools. The one she has is really for nursery school, kindergarten. And but they would mesh beautifully if we could get them together.
Well, I think we'll be doing a website before, by the middle of this year, a Charlie Bedtime Stories.
Wonderful.
Because children, not just children, adults, our everyday living
yes.
is so filled with so much stuff
yes.
that the only time that's left is sleep.
Right.
And our sleep has to be quality sleep for us to be healthy.
Exactly.
And so having bedtime stories that are uplifting
it.
And have a little moral to the story
yes.
is a healthy way to go to sleep
mm-hmm.
for a quality sleep and
right.
positive thinking.
Well, I was going to mention that one of the things I heard on the way home, which to me was self-evident because of the programs that we do, is that they've done studies and have found that the so-called web teaching that they thought was going to increase reading skills, this and that and the other thing, you know, it was a be-all and end-all of the new educational reach, has done nothing measurable to teach children. And I thought to myself, you know, they didn't have any increase in any reading skills or anything else, whether they were disguised as videos, games, whatever, okay? And I thought to myself, well, you know, that to me was a duh, because what my mother had taught me and what I have noticed with the interaction with teachers and students, number one, when you have human interaction, there is learning going on at an unconscious level, and that there is a transfer of knowledge from teacher to students that goes on at the same time the teacher is in the classroom.
Absolutely true.
And when you put it in front of a computer, There is no transfer of knowledge from a machine.
There's no human interaction.
No.
And
none.
What we're really talking about is the bond of love.
That's part of it. Well,
because
yes.
Love is
yes,
an
yes.
energy.
Yes.
And that human interaction is absolutely necessary. When
yes.
I wanted to make the Charlie program into a computerized format, I was advised not to, for the same reason you have mentioned, that without human
contact.
How can children learn to be good humans if
yes.
they don't have human interaction? They're going to be more robotic.
Exactly. But what I was thinking of, yeah, I could have told these people and saved them a whole lot of research money. Ha, ha, ha. I take care about that part. But by
people
telling them that,
learn.
No, it's not going to work because you don't have the human evidence. And, you know, something else that my mother told me that I find absolutely fascinating is that in old days, the older people would gently touch children on the tops of their heads, you know, like patting them or talking to them with their hand on the head, and that knowledge was transferred from one human, the adult, to the child through the very contact of touch. Even while they were talking, reams of information would be given unconsciously. And that also makes sense to me.
It's still love in action.
Exactly.
The human touch. We're going back to the human
yes.
connection. Right.
Yes. But I find that just absolutely, and people have tried to pull out love as a part of it, and you can't, because that's what human beings are. That's what we're here for. So
well,
when you
I
try to
was,
get out the human part.
Right, that was proven years and years ago with the what do you call the in early communist Russia when
right.
they took babies and had them in communes.
Yeah, it didn't work.
And it didn't work.
They died.
They only the ones that were picked up and held
yes.
and communicated with, you know, survived.
Well, you know that is a really old saw because way back in Frederick Barbarossa's times, I love history, but he was back in the early Middle Ages. He thought, along the same lines, that what he could do was take small children from their parents, okay, and raise them up to be loyal to him. Same concept. Remove the child from a loving atmosphere, and then he would have killing machines. What happened was the children all died. He never did that. So, you know, mankind keeps repeating these things. It doesn't work then, and it doesn't work now. And
it never will work.
Huh?
It never will work.
No, it won't, because that's not how humans are not. They keep forgetting the God, that we are created to be co-creators with God. We're created, taught to be companions with God. And that's not God-like. And so it's going to fail, because it's fallacious thinking from the very beginning. It's the antithesis of totality of love and caring. But I just find it interesting that the communist state would try that, because it doesn't work. And for good reason, because that it would dehumanize humans, and we are not programmed to be robots. So anything of that nature is destined to fail. What they're trying to do is seeking cloning, in a sense, to clone human beings down to be things, and I think that'll fail too, because the world is not ready for that. Actually, we had that already during the Atlantean times, right?
Well, the cloning, you mean?
Yeah, form of cloning,
I don't know.
They had things that were part human and part not, or tried to get them to be human, but really kept them as slaves, and that also went down the drain way back when.
Well, I guess it's humanity's natural curiosity that causes them to explore.
I think it's more arrogance
discover.
Rather than curiosity. I think, especially when the intent is not noble.
Well, good point, yes.
Especially when it's not noble. Other than that, though, our things in Guacamora. We have
Field. Well, if we each do our part to be
yes.
our good, better, best.
Yes.
Then we don't have to save each other. That's right. Once you understand that we're not separated, that we're all connected, and that we all, you know, are from the same source,
mm-hmm.
and that we need each other to exist,
mm-hmm.
then we could focus on just being our better selves.
I agree.
And a lot of, and really the freedom to be who we are comes from letting go of what we don't need anymore, what was probably mostly not ours,
uh-huh.
but to let go and move forward from the only position of power that exists, the here and now.
I agree. It's very interesting because so many people, they think they're not in control. But they're not in control because their concept of what control really is, it's a matter of hanging on to something, holding it, guiding it the way you would a steering wheel, something of that nature.
Yes.
That's not control, actually. That's not control in my book.
It's a different kind of control.
But it's, you have, when you can let go,
mm-hmm.
that's when you have control. When you can release all thoughts and the habit patterns that go contrary, that's when you really control, because it's very hard to let go of preconceived ideas and thoughts and habits. And it's very difficult because we enjoy them. Good heavens, we grew up with them. They're a part of our psyche, right?
Yeah.
In fact, we may have brought them with us for many lifetimes, and we are fond of the old things, aren't we? So it's very
well,
hard.
Well, the familiar is.
Yeah, we're not afraid of what we're comfortable with. We know it. It's the devil. What does my mother used to say? It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. We all know we can survive because we did, but it's a very, very interesting concept that the more that we can let ourselves or give ourselves permission and allow ourselves to release and let go, the greater the control and the power we walk into. Because when we let go, we release our ego, and as you said earlier, the outcome that comes with conscious decision. And that's something that every one of us actually, I think, goes through. Having to hold on to that ego, because that's our picture. We've made it our identity card, you know? So
yeah.
It's very hard to let go of something that we've darn well gotten so very fond of.
That is true. We get attached to ourselves.
Well, in not such a nice way, you know. I am rather fond of myself, but enough already.
Well, life is interesting, for sure. And sooner or later, we do learn that everything we experience in life
uh-huh.
and only one purpose, our good and betterment. And we're all going to make it. It's not a matter of if.
Right.
It's really just a matter of when.
Well, it's a matter of when we are ready, we allow things to leave, and we find that there is no void. Nature abhors a vacuum. So when you release old, outworn thoughts and ideas that are not creating a great place for you to come from, as soon as we let go, something else rushes in to replace that worn, outdated stuff that is much better, and we think to ourselves, good Lord, why didn't I get into it sooner? Why didn't I see it sooner? Even because sometimes we're just not ready. We're not as ready to grow up sometimes as we'd like to think we are. But
right.
Each of us at some point comes to a, this is not working for me. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better mousetrap.
Right. I think Chief Seattle said it most perfectly. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it.
Yes.
Whatever we do to the web,
yes.
we do to ourselves.
Exactly.
All things are bound together.
Yes.
All things connect. And that's why each of us, like the thread, you know, are important by the very fact that we exist.
Well, we cannot.
We have a purpose.
We cannot deny our interconnectedness and one with each other. As we said from the beginning, even our very thoughts impact us, for positive or negative. Edgar Cayce put out a challenge. Go for one day with thinking only positive thoughts, thinking ill of no one or criticizing no one, and see what such a day might not bring to you.
Yes.
And, you know, I've tried to do it a few times, and then I find myself, well, darn, that person cut me off in traffic, and, you know, where did he get his driver's license in a Cracker Jack box?
By the way, I just saw the movie The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Oh, really? How was it?
Written by Dan Millman.
Right.
And it's a story about his life. It was well done.
Wonderful.
And I would recommend everyone to see it.
Oh, how
it's,
wonderful.
It's definitely an entertaining, educational story based on facts of this person's life and how he overcame every obstacle presented to him. And it is just becoming aware that everything happens for a reason that serves your good. However, the challenge, you don't ever really get to know how powerful you are until you go through it.
Yes.
Or and experience it.
Right.
And then appreciate it, which is back to my basic statement earlier, that when you look at everything as a teacher,
right,
then you have a different perspective that allows you to look for all the hidden messages,
right,
you know, that are there, but if you're not looking between the lines, you might miss.
Right. It, again, we say the same thing, sometimes with different words, of the opening to an awareness. And as we release old stuff, that's when you're allowing the new awareness to come into your life.
Right, and the fact is, everything we need to know to live in this world as a divine human is in us. All we have to do is clean out our closets.
Yes.
Get rid of the stuff that's
right
in the way.
Right.
And it's there for us to use.
Exactly.
So
and
everything begins
the surface
with our thoughts. You know, what you think is what you become. So the moment, you know, and it gets to be a fun game to turn a negative into a positive.
Absolutely.
You know, I can't do it becomes I can learn to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start turning things around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am happy, healthy, and wise.
Right.
You know, everything I need, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And will have as I need it.
Right.
It you learn just to think. A lot of angel messages that came from me that along my path have always stayed with me. You know, the most profound, I think, is there is no pain. There is only growing. And sometimes you do the rowing, and sometimes we do the rowing, referring to the angels. And no one can do to you what you are not already doing to yourself.
That's very true.
Oh, they're just many, you know, and they have senses of humor, too. So and you start conversing with them. They will answer when you least expect it, you know. And another big one for me, and for many of us, is it's never about money. It's never about money. You may think it is, but it's not about money. And any block you might have is imaginary.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, it needs to be looked at as a gate that automatically opens up when you're ready. And not only do you have to be ready, the world has to be ready.
Exactly.
You know, what good would it have been to discover oil in prehistoric times, if the caveman really didn't have the tools to use
to distract it, or know what to do with it to use it.
Right.
So, yes, that's very, very true.
So there's a right time for everything, and that's so that it has the full nourishment of life support to grow that idea into a physical reality for the world to share and benefit from. As in all things, it just takes time, and time is always on our side. It's the guarantee that what is worthy to be does indeed, you know, become reality.
It's really profound tonight. I noticed that the theme is really stronger tonight than usual.
Well,
and
it's beyond giving information to people, an answer to a specific question. It's really just acknowledging that.
And as I said, we pretty much let spirit guide our conversations when we have people on, because it's needed. And I find it so much more, I find it so much more satisfying to be guided by the conversation, whether people call in or not, doesn't matter. But I think it is such a wonderful gift to be able to go on any subject, because I am always fascinated by what comes up, and I never know what's going to happen.
That makes it,
I never know the direction.
Leave a little bit of surprise in it.
Oh, it always is. You know, for me, it is always a wonderful, wonderful subject here, and I'm having a great deal of fun talking to you and enjoying it, and I think a lot of people here, the same. And sometimes it's necessary for profound messages to be sent out, and perhaps today that is one of those days. And so I very much appreciate your participation this evening, my dear.
Well, as long as I have some sharing left to do, I would like to just share my favorite affirmation. I'm not sure where it came from or I would give it credit, but since it all comes from the same, you know, greater universe, I don't know if anyone can lay claim to it specifically, because many of us know it too. But I used to keep the affirmation on my computer, so to refresh myself and get centered and harmonized. And it is the statement, I am the presence of the power of God, and the power of the presence of God. That's a pretty strong statement. I am the presence of the power of God, and the power of the presence of God.
That's beautiful.
It goes back to I am that I am, and there is no other God but me in thee, and thee in me. And the first time that entered my thoughts, I could never mouth it, because I thought it was blasphemous. And of course, with time and experience and knowledge, I understand now what that means. There is no other God.
We are coming to the end, so I'd like you to be able to give people contact information. So if you give your name and the contact information, if somebody wants to talk to you, they can do so.
My name is Wilma, and I can be reached on email psychic psi@mchsi.com. You know, I've been doing other things, so I have not been active or for being available to the public. And I think it will probably stay that way yet for a while. Only because I have a project to do, and I'm not ready to share it yet. I guess I just don't need to be sidetracked completely. But I do know that everything in this world happens for a reason, and it's always our good and betterment, and that everything we experience in life is for us, each of us.
Yes.
Good and better.
Okay.
And I take it you've gotten your signal.
Yes, I have.
I'd like to talk with you this evening and
yes,
the audience.
You're welcome, Darren. Thank you again. We'd love to talk to you again sometime, my dear, and I'll be calling you. And again, I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for the Higher Dimension on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and please listen in again next week. My guest is going to be the great, gifted healer and psychic Patty Conklin, and I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. You can reach me at Multiple Pathways at 301. No, it's not. It's 202-387-2080. Thank you very much, Wilma. Thank you all at the radio station, and God bless all of you. Have a wonderful Easter, and may you bloom and prosper as the spring comes into our lives.
Thank you,
and good night.
Good night.
Good night, Jeff.